This is Morning Edition from NHPR. Lobbying plays a big role in shaping public policy in the New Hampshire State House, but lawmakers also rely heavily on lobbyists to fund their reelection campaigns. NHPR's Casey McDermott has been reporting on the influence of lobbying money on the race for the State House, and she joins us in the studio now to share what she's found. Good morning, Casey.
Good morning, Rick.
Okay, so why did you want to look at this?
So we've been trying to pay attention just more generally to the intersection of money, access, and power at the State House. And a few months ago, I was browsing some campaign funding reports for state senators, which I know sounds like a ton of fun, and noticed that I was seeing a lot of the same names over and over again for both parties on those reports. But I also noticed that a lot of those names belonged to lobbyists or big lobbying firms that kind of run the show around the legislative session. I did some more digging and realized that a lot of the donations that were showing up on those senators' fundraising reports came from the same people and groups that were often directly involved in what those senators were voting on at the State House. So I figured it was probably worth taking a bigger look at this, especially since the current reporting system doesn't really make it super easy to see that overlap.
Okay, Casey, so this is stuff that's kind of under the surface, so you had to dig in a little bit. What did you find?
So found that overall, about half of the money that went to incumbent state senators running for re-election came from lobbyists, lobbying firms, or the clients that they work for. I should note that we only looked at donations before the September primary because the latest donations weren't reported until just a few days ago, so not all of them had been filed in time for our story.
Okay, so how did you come up with those numbers?
So first, we focused on the state Senate because it's smaller and, frankly, much more manageable to look at than the 400-person House, but also because its size means that the relationship between lobbyists and individual legislators are often much stronger than in the House. It's also the side of the state House where the most high-profile make-or-break policy decisions are usually made. So basically, I downloaded every fundraising report going back to the beginning of this campaign season, compiled those donations through the state primary, as I said, so covering January 2017 to September 2018. Then I took those donations and I searched every one against the lobbying registrations for the same years, 2017 and 2018. Those were from the Secretary of State's website. And the goal basically was just to get a sense of how often during their time in office, senators were getting money from the people or companies or groups who had a vested interest in the votes that they were taking during that same legislative term.
Okay, that's an awful lot of work, Casey.
It took a while. And I don't just say that to complain because it was difficult for me as a journalist. You know, it's my job to spend time reading over hard-to-understand documents for a living and to make those more accessible to the rest of the public. But as I was sitting there transcribing these numbers into spreadsheets or spending time going back and forth and back and forth between lobbying registrations and the campaign finance reports, I kept thinking to myself, you know, if this is so painstaking for me working basically full-time on this project for the last few weeks, imagine how impossible it would be for the average voter to try to make sense of all of this on their own.
Okay. And what did senators have to say about the role that this money plays in their campaigns?
So the response was pretty mixed. And I talked to senators from both parties, but pretty much across the board, the ones that I interviewed said these donations have no bearing on their votes, that, you know, their doors open to everyone regardless of the last time they wrote a check. Some did acknowledge that they were getting donations from lobbyists, perhaps because they were on certain committees or held certain leadership positions. But others flatly denied that there was any connection whatsoever between the money that they got and the way that they conducted themselves on the job.
But we should point out that this is all legal, right?
Yep. Basically, they treat these contributions like any other donation. There's little added restrictions in New Hampshire campaign finance law around this. Individual lobbyists do have to report campaign donations on a special filing, but that doesn't apply to their firms or their clients, which actually do a lot more giving than the individuals. And the senators' campaign fundraising reports don't have to identify lobbyists or their firms or their clients in any special way. Now, compare that to, say, states like Connecticut or Kansas, which ban lobbyists from donating during the legislative session, or Maine, which extends that ban to clients, or Alaska, which says that they can only give to politicians that represent their district, or even Illinois, which bans most political fundraisers in the whole county where its state capital is located on days when the legislature is in session. If that last law were in effect here, it would clear up a lot of lobbyists' social calendars, and lawmakers would probably have to start looking for alternate venues for their fundraisers.
Indeed. Well, you can find Casey's full report, including a full breakdown of lobbying donations for every senator who's up for re-election this year, online at nhpr.org, making it a little more transparent for you. Her reporting is part of NHPR's State of Democracy Project, which looks at the intersection of politics and policy here in New Hampshire. Casey, thanks so much.
Thank you.